This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Greg Schiano joins us right now, who's back at Rutgers for this second stint. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks for it. And how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So we just played a short moment ago the Chop for Change video that your football team did put out. I know it's been a very emotional last 2 weeks ever since the murder of George Floyd. Just talk about how the team came together and how the idea of the video came about, because it was very powerful.
Sure. It was very powerful and is very powerful. I'm proud of our team for doing it. The way it came about is when that tragedy occurred, I was talking with one of my staff members, and we agreed, you know, we need to get the team together for an emergency team meeting. So last Wednesday, we got on the WebEx with everybody, and really there was only one intention, and that was to let everybody kind of talk about how they were feeling and get whatever feelings they had out to their teammates. You know, it's got to – to me, that team meeting, that team locker room, that whole feeling has got to be the safest place in their world. And I was really proud because our guys were very transparent. They shared. I think the three biggest things that came out of it, you know, for the young people, first is fear. Then probably close second was the anger. You know, and then the one that worries me the most is the hopelessness, you know, and that's the one that I really worry about for young people when they begin to feel hopeless, and it can't be, you know, and from that meeting, what transpired is we formed a committee with about a dozen players of all different grades and classes. And then we threw some staff and coaches in there, and that's where the idea came from. And you know, the important thing is that we talked about as a team is the video is great, but that's a beginning of something. You know, we have to continue to affect change, not just when it's an acute situation, but over and over and over again. So that's our challenge. We'll talk about it, but it's going to be a key part of what we do as a team, and I look forward to being a small part of it with our team.
Obviously, as a football coach, you have a job to do, and a lot of times we judge your success based off wins and losses. With all that has happened the last 3 months, you know, it's been more than football, because you have to be there for players, and we know that relationship with a college coach and his players and what it should be. With the coronavirus and then the pandemic, like, what are some things that the school is trying to do for your football players when it comes to mental health and what is a very trying time for many of your players?
Well, I'm really proud of our players and our staff through the whole virus. And, you know, we it was right before spring break, our guys were leaving, and it was starting to become clear that this was really a big thing and that we might not be getting back together. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And our guys have been, you know, either at home or in their off-campus apartments down in New Brunswick, Piscataway area. And we've done a bunch together. We've learned how to use technology that a lot of us really didn't know how to use, doing a lot of these WebEx calls and meetings and guys working out using all different kinds of apparatus, things that you would never thought of. But I think what's happened is our team has become very close in a strange way, like electronically close, because we've spent a lot of time with each other, whether it be in meetings or in team meetings or just in phone calls. Because you think about it, as a college coach, you have 15 spring practices. And those practices, not only, you know, people see the 2.5 hours maybe you practice or the 2 hours you practice, they don't understand all the time that goes into it beforehand and all the time that goes into it after, evaluating the tapes with the players and the coaches. So all that time we've kind of used, kind of positioned on other things, whether it be teaching our players the installation. You got to remember, we're a new staff. So, you know, we didn't have a chance to coach our guys at all. We didn't have a chance to have meetings. So we've spent a lot of time on the installation of our offense, our defense, and our kicking game. And then, well, not really our kicking game, more our offense and our defense. But, and then we've done a lot of things with our coaches, just one-on-one phone calls, talking about all different kinds of things. So I think what we've been able to do as a team is make as productive use of the time as we can. And then, and as you mentioned, then as other things began to unfold, again, continuing to be able to communicate with each other. That to me is the key.
Greg Schiano here with us, the head football coach at Rutgers, back for a second go around with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Your name synonymous with that program. Why was this the right job to take? Why was it right for you to come back to New Jersey?
Well, it's my home, number one, but it was the right job for me to take at this time because Rutgers was committed to going all in. You know, we had success at Rutgers that that the school had not had in football in its history. But a lot of the times we didn't have all the things that that were needed to do that. And that was what was important to me, that we were going to be able to go into the Big Ten and be a legitimate Big Ten program. And what do I mean by that? I mean, be able to hire the coaches and support staff that's necessary. And that takes money. Being able to have the facilities that are needed to compete and to recruit. And that takes money. So oftentimes that financial commitment is a huge decision by an institution. Are we willing to go all in? And Rutgers was willing to go all in. And that's when that became the right job for me.
Even with that and with the resources, people will say, Coach, come on, Rutgers in the Big Ten, even with those resources, it's never going to work. You tell me why it is going to work.
Well, I'm asked that question. I say my question to them is, why isn't it going to work? Right? Like, what do you need to have a great football program? Number one, you have to have a great academic institution. Check. Right? We have a medical school. It's an unbelievable school. Number two, you have to have a great recruiting base. Number two, check. We have a great recruiting base. And then number three, you better have a great alumni support. We have over 500,000 living alumni in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, right? So, I mean, when you check those three boxes, the reason really, or the question really should be, why hasn't it happened? And I think it did. We were right on the cusp of taking it to another level. Had we stayed, and that's what aggravates me the most, had we stayed, I think we would have reached those levels that we're talking about. And, I love the Big Ten Conference. From 2002 on, that's what my mission was to get Rutgers into the Big Ten Conference. So I'm so excited that we get to compete in the Big Ten, and especially the Big Ten East, which I think is the most competitive conference in all of college football. And I would have it no other way. But you got to think back to, you know, when we were ranked 12th in the country in 2006, above us in our little 18 league, which used to be the Big East, Louisville was sixth and West Virginia was eighth. So you're looking at three top 12 teams in that league that year out of an 18 league, right? And last time I checked, those Big Ten schools were still being ranked then too. So we've been able to do it at a highly competitive level. We'll be able to do it again. Just got to get the right people in place, and then you got to develop them. And that's, you know, our philosophy is recruit and develop, and that's what we got to do.
I'll never forget 2006 as a youngster on Long Island. You know, you grow up on Long Island, you don't really have a college football team, but the way New York and New Jersey embrace Rutgers and to see the success that you guys had that year, and then we all know our good friend Chris Carlin on the call with Pandemonium in Piscataway Like, you look back at that game that night, how do you relive that? What stands out to you after all those years, that Rutgers game up against Louisville?
Well, I think that was the culmination of a lot of hard work by a lot of people. And to have a national audience and have what was a really big-time atmosphere. Like, you know, I've been in a lot of huge games over the years, a lot of NFL stadiums packed to the rafters. I don't know if I've ever been in one as loud as that and as spirited as that. And, you know, it was funny. I was watching a replay of a game the following year against South Florida. South Florida was number two in the country, and we knocked them off again in a Thursday night game. And as we were taking the field, Herb Street and Fowler are doing the game, and Fowler says, you know, Rutgers Stadium, a traditionally tough place for opponents to play. Well, that had never been said probably in the history of Rutgers football. And all of a sudden, a national TV audience, that's being said. So one thing about mankind is we get awfully fixated on what's happening right in front of us. You got to have a little vision. We did it the first time. We have that same vision. And thankfully, we're 20 years more experienced. So hopefully we can make it happen more quickly. We know we're in a great league, a great conference. So we got a lot of work to do.
Other than the experience that you gained since 2011, since leaving Rutgers, how are you different this time around coming back in 2020?
Well, I'm different in a lot of ways. I mean, we're all a product of our experiences, and I've had some good ones since I left Rutgers, and I've had some really tough ones as well. And you know what? Sometimes those tough ones, they humble you a little bit. They make you look at things a little differently. In addition to that, you know, my wife and I raised four kids, and my youngest is now 17. I have a daughter who's 17, but my three sons all went and played college football, and the twins are still playing. So when you're a parent of a college football player, I think you really see all the struggles, the academic load, the athletic pressure, right? All these kids are under so much pressure. And you mentioned mental health earlier. I think that's such a huge part. You know, are you really caring for the entire student athlete, not just the football player, but all the things? And I think I can better appreciate that now after having gotten those same phone calls that I'm sure many of the parents of my players get. You know, this coach isn't being fair. School's too hard. My knee hurts. All those things where as a parent, it rips your heart out, but all you can do is support your son or daughter and keep encouraging them. So I think I can do a better job for my players now than I did in my first go round. But I think that's important because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Do your players feel like you have their back, and do your players know that you'll do anything to help them? When they do, they become dangerous.
Greg Schiano here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Last year you were getting set to work with the Patriots, and then you did step away saying you wanted to spend more time on your faith and with your family. What did last year do for you?
Well, it was a great opportunity, and Coach Belichick was unbelievable because he's been a mentor and a friend for a lot of years, and it was hard for me to do that, to step away. But I just felt like I needed to do it, and I had an opportunity to watch my children play all their sports, go to college football games and watch my sons play, spend time at home, my wife and I, and really time for me to work on me without having to do a job. That's, you know, our job as coaches is an 18-hour a day lifestyle. It's not a kind of one of those jobs you show up to when you want to. So I really had some time. I didn't do a ton of football. I'll be frank. I did a lot of other stuff, a lot of family stuff, and a lot of working on myself. And I really meant that, you know, the speculation, oh, what's wrong? Was somebody sick, something going on? There was nothing other than I felt like it was time after 30 years of coaching that I needed to take a break. And quite honestly, I didn't know if I would go back to coaching. I didn't know where it was going to lead me. I went into it without any preconceived notions. And when this Rutgers thing became an option, and then it quickly became a lot of people that were asking me, I kind of said to myself, all right, well, let's go down that path. And if it's really feels right, then do it. Otherwise, not now. And it felt really right. And I'm really fortunate because I know I made a mistake in leaving the first time. and you usually don't get a second chance. I'm getting a second chance. God's blessed me in a big way, so we'll make the most of it.
Do you think this is your last stop, Coach, in your coaching career?
I do. I know I do. I think that we can do great things here, and I'm banking on it. And everything we got's going into it, and I'm excited to see what big-time Big Ten football looks like in the New York metropolitan area.
When we get to the start of this upcoming season, it's the unknown right now because we don't know what's going to happen in the world, you know, tomorrow and a week from now and a month from now with this pandemic. How are you trying to prepare your team to the best of their abilities, and are you optimistic that we will have a full season and it does start on time? Like how do you balance that?
You know, I have not spent a ton of time worrying about if and when. Right now, I've been told we are, you know, by our league that we will open that weekend of the 5th. So until someone tells me we're not, that's what we're preparing to do. It's certainly a whole different world. I mean, I've spent hours this week especially putting together return to campus plans because everything's so different. Things you never thought about, you have to think about now. And we'll do that because the health and safety of our players, and I know that sounds cliche because that's all you hear, right? Health and safety, health and safety. But there's a reason that's all you hear. It's the most important thing that people stay healthy and stay safe. And as the head coach, again, it may not be directly in your job description, but it sure is a big part of what you do. You have to have the overall vision for all things related to your program. And with everything that's going on right now, there's a lot of things to keep your eye on. And that's what I've been trying to do. But I can tell you, it can become a little overwhelming at times. I'm glad I'm 54 doing this right now and not 34.
Last thing I'll ask you, Coach Greg Schiano. You know Urban Meyer very well. You worked from him in the past. Do you think he'll one day make a return to the college sideline?
I don't know. That'll be – a lot of people will be interested to know that. I know this. He's a great coach. He's really doing great things right now in TV as well. And like you said, he's a good friend. So I hope whatever it is that makes him happy is what he ends up doing. But he and Shelly are great people. And, you know, they're people that you only wish the best for.
Well, Coach, good luck. I'm excited to see what happens with Rutgers. You know, I'm a fan of Pat Hobbs. You know, the department when I worked in New Jersey doing local radio there was very kind to me. So I wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we get Rutgers back in a good place on the football field. Thanks so much.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.